The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Bounce pass to Allen. Allen over on the right side of Coral. Coral steps in, guarded by Pajemski. Finds Jerome, left corner three. Swish! The Warriors have been hurt by baseline penetration of all things. 60-30 the score. The Warriors are down 30 on the road.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Sterling Bennett, Cam Williams, our producer, and Dan DeVoe. Warriors This Week continues after the Warriors lose 136-117. The road trip, the five-game road trip, comes to an end tomorrow. Big matchup. Doesn't get any easier when they take on Oklahoma City, and they'll do that, obviously, at OKC. By the way, on the call, Tim Roy mentioned one Ty Jerome. Obviously, Warrior fans will remember one Ty Jerome, who was coming off that Warrior bench a couple of years back. 20 points last night for Ty Jerome, which should tell you just about everything you needed to know how things were going with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Send it in, Jerome! He was doing it all last night.
And I'm sure somewhere Anthony Lamb was going for 35, wherever the hell he is these days. All right, anytime you hold out through the break, we get right to you. 888-957-9570. Austin in San Jose, enough said. What's going on with you this morning, Austin? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Saturday, as always, Dan. And I forgot your partner's name, but welcome. Happy Saturday, bro.
Sterling Bennett.
Hey, listen. Hey, the great Sterling Bennett, my bad. Listen, guys, last night, I don't know what that lineup was, the starting lineup. I mean, you basically had three non-shooters on the court with GP2, Dre, and Trace Jackson Davis. So, I mean, other than Steph Curry, there was nobody threatening other than, I guess, Wiggins. But the idea that you would start GP2 in that spot, I mean, I would have thought Moody. And I haven't been a big Moody supporter, but I got to tell you, this year, the kid's worked on his game. He's got to shoot. Every time he comes in, he's ready to shoot. Why wouldn't you start Moody in that situation over GP2? That the guy that really can't shoot. I mean, so that's the first thing. So the second thing is, Dan, I think I mentioned to you last week, I'm not a big fan of this Kumbaya 10-man rotation. I don't think it works long-term in the NBA. I know the Warriors have had some success early on, but let's remember, they were 5 in the games against teams that probably won't even be in the playoffs come into these. So you have to kind of take a step back and look at that record and say, let's see how they do against some of the better teams. Not saying they won't play well, but let's just see. And then I think you're Sterling. You mentioned something about, and I know Dan knows where I'm going here, you mentioned something about starting lineup and putting Przemski or one of those guys. Dude, I mean, if you really believe, watch last night what Donovan Mitchell was doing to Przemski and some of the step backs. I mean, and Darren Gong. I know those guys are elite, but look around the NBA. There's no way that you're winning many games if you're starting guys like Przemski alongside Steph. I just don't. You can't sell me on that. So I think the Warriors do need to make a move. I think they're playing these 10 guys, Dan. You might disagree, but I started thinking last night that they're playing these guys to really kind of feature them. And I don't think there's too many guys that are the same on this roster. Last night showed down low in the paint, they really lack a real skilled big man. I know that Trayce Jackson-Davis is a young guy. He's going to be okay. But he's never going to be a frontline, I would say, featured starter in the point, in the paint. So I think they need to really get a guy to go out. You know, it doesn't have to be the guy from Utah. It needs to be a secondary guy. It can be a, he doesn't have to be a star. He could be a secondary guy. So final thing I wanted to say, guys, I was going back and forth last night with the NBA package, and I switched over to the Dallas and Suns game. And just the star power on the court. And you guys can say, hey, it doesn't matter as long as it's a good game. It does matter. After Steph went out of the game last night, I turned away. There was no reason to watch because, honestly, after Steph goes off that roster, Warriors become very, very pedestrian as far as entertainment. But the Suns and the Mavs, man, on both sides of the roster, it was a great game. Just star power. So let's not lose sight of the fact that Steph needs a star to play with him. And I don't think that guy's on the roster, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Strong as always, Austin. Couple of things there. First of all, you might be onto something, and certainly I wouldn't deny, and maybe Steve Kerr subtly knows this, that while he's winning and intends to play third team, because I truly do believe that he feels that this is the ingredient with which and a good recipe with which to win. But yes, if there's a part of him that also believes, and I would not be surprised, that it gives me the opportunity to showcase a lot of my younger talent so that I can lure potentially that big piece, albeit maybe it's not a one, maybe it's a two, maybe it's a secondary star, but if I can showcase these players and somehow lure that guy over to the Warriors via trade, that'll be another option for me when we hit the trade deadline. I'm certainly not opposed to, you know, potentially that's what's going on here. As far as, and I think he brings up an interesting point, Sterling, which I'd like to get further into, and that is, I've always maintained, I'm with Austin, baseball, maybe you can get away with pitching and some good utility guys and some timely hitting and a star here. You know, we saw it with the Giants when they won 107 games, and they did it essentially with guys who were having career years, and every button that Gabe Kapler pushed, he came up roses with pinch hit home runs. In the NBA, I've always, and I'm like Austin, this is a stars league. It's five dudes on the court. You can't hide. Right, it's the reason why Boston back in the day changed the landscape of the NBA and said, this is how you win NBA titles. You go get Paul Pierce, you get Kevin Garnett, and you get Ray Allen. Three of your five have got to be stars. And then, of course, LeBron James took it to new heights when he said, okay, let me call up my boy Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, let's get out of Toronto and go to South Florida and let's win titles with our three. And then going forward, because it's a homogenous league, everybody sort of copycatted and say, okay, you need three stars. The Warriors went to new lanes and basically got five starters that were all, you know, top-of-the-line stars. And that's what was trending. And it's been that way for a while, that this is a stars league. I would agree with you when Austin was pointing out that Dallas and Phoenix and all those stars from Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant to Luka Doncic and Klay Thompson and Kyrie Irving all on the floor last night. The question that I want to put in front of you, Sterling, and the rest of the audience, is just like anything else in the NBA, things change and things become cyclical. Is because of the second apron, because of the finances and the salary cap, that can you necessarily afford three, let alone two? And are we seeing, maybe with the Warriors, I don't mean to get ahead of myself, that there's a different way to do this. That, yeah, you need a star, but you don't necessarily need three or four. That if you have depth like that of the Warriors, if you could have quality players and then bring in waves of these sort of guys that have that quote-unquote buy-in. Now, it's a lot easier said than done because you got to find the right guys. The Warriors are long and athletic, and it's about that energy and the buy-in that I had talked about at the top of the show. Could what the Warriors are doing now, should they have success, just to get ahead of myself, say 3-4 months from now, the Warriors are a playoff team and they're maintaining this winning percentage, that could this be a new way to win in the NBA? That certainly you need a star, but you don't need three of them. That it's depth and it's a buy-in defensively that could be the recipe going forward.
So what you're essentially saying is, instead of being reactive, be proactive. Change the way you win in the NBA. Is this a new, I guess you can say, wave of prosperity in regards to how you win games? I think that is potentially true, but I do think that has its ceiling. And that goes back into what Austin was saying and goes back to what I was saying earlier in the last hour of there's a reason why they're playing 12, 13 guys. One, you're keeping your stars fresh, Curry, Draymond, and hopefully, you know, many others. But they're also showcasing Kuminga and Wiggins and Trace Jackson, and when he can get back fully healthy and not sick anymore, Pajemski and company, that you can play a large portion of the season that way. But when it comes to getting to the NBA Finals, yeah, you can talk about the Celtics and the Miami Heat. They've won with a collective unit. The Celtics have two stars. The Nuggets have stars. They have two stars. You have to have the other star. You have to have the other scoring star. The Warriors don't have the other scorer, the number two scorer. And that's where I think the Giannis conversation comes in. And I get Daniel push back on that. That's fine. But you want to talk about two timelines. That's been the kind of the bigger conversation for the last few years. You can erase all that conversation by trading away Kuminga, Wiggins, picks, and whoever else is involved, Trace Jackson Davis. Those guys will never be Giannis Antetokounmpo. You immediately get Steph Curry, that number two star. He becomes your big man in the paint, whereas last night, Trace Jackson Davis and Draymond, Kevon Looney, for as great as we might like them here in the Bay Area, they're not Giannis. They're not going to go against Jared Allen and Mobley. They're not going to beat those guys. They're not going to give you more than them on most nights. So you have to find another big, hopefully a stretch four. If not, it is a star like Giannis that can beat you practically everywhere, not behind the arc, and aid Stephen Curry in his chase for another championship. But going back to what Austin was saying in regards to playing Pajemski, it's not just about playing Pajemski. I'm not advocating for that. What I'm advocating for is finding Stephen Curry, that number two scorer, number two shooter in that starting lineup. Hence why you have maybe a Moses Moody, like Austin said, or say the Anthony Melton, who came back last night, which he's not going to start in his first night back, but you cannot play GP2, TJD, and Draymond together to start games. You are going to be over-reliant on Stephen Curry to have this amazing first quarter, which he's prone to doing, but you limit what your offense can do. And if you're going to play 12 to 13 guys, you can mix in GP2 later in games. If he wants to close games out when you're winning by 5 or 6 because he has great defense, fine. Just don't make him start games. This team has had two slow starts back-to-back against the best teams they've played all year long. Against the Celtics, didn't hurt them. They weren't hitting their shots. Last night, it crushed them because the Cavaliers were hitting their shots. So I think it is really important for the Golden State Warriors, even if it means for the first few months of the NBA season to play 12, 13 guys. Okay, that's fine. Strength in numbers, right? But when it gets to, you know, when we're talking about May and June and July and the playoffs, you gotta have the number two guy, and the Warriors don't currently have that. And that comes down to starting games off with the number two shooter alongside Stephen Curry to open the offense up early. That comes down to, in the paint, having a big man to help Stephen Curry and helpfully go against guys like Jared Allen, maybe eventually Al Horford and company, Jokic, with the Denver Nuggets. The Warriors, although are 7-2, when you talk about longevity and how far they can go, talking about finals or playoffs, they don't have the ancillary piece, the number two cornerstone, to lift up the rest of the roster. They have guys and they have dogs. They have fighting them for sure. A lot of hopes and will-bes and maybes, but they need that number two player to pick up Steph. I don't think this wave of 12-man, 13-man rotations is going to carry them the entire year. I think at a certain point they hit that glass ceiling and have to make a change.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you maybe a week ago, and I still need to see more. But when
they all do.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We all do.
The Boston Celtic game was one of those to me that they cleared a hurdle, because one of the things that I needed to see is like, yeah, 12 or 13 guys is great, but when it comes to closing time, so Magic Johnson used to say, when it's winning time, right, I need my boys out there. Let's close. This is not a time to get chaotic and get cute by shuffling guys in and out. Not in the closing last 3 to 5 minutes of a basketball game. But that's what they did against Boston. Basically, it was the same sort of philosophy in a close game against the defending champs, and the Warriors sealed the deal. And they did it with Buddy Hield hitting a corner jumper. They did it with basically what it is that they've been doing up to this point. Now, you need to see a little bit more of that, but to me, that was one of the biggest tests. Yeah, you can do this through the first 3.5 quarters, but when it comes, and obviously nobody played more close games and close game defined. There's literally a statistic for this in the NBA.
Close games, yeah.
Yeah, was it a game that's hanging in the balance by, what is it, 5 or less points with 5 minutes to go?
So, yeah.
Nobody played more of those than the Warriors a year ago. So Warriors play nip and tuck basketball. And when you get down to the closing moments, I need some thoroughbreds. Or do you? Because the first opportunity against a good team was the Boston Celtics in a hostile environment. And the Golden State Warriors closed the door. And they did it with unlikely suspects, one of which was Buddy Hield. Is Buddy Hield unlocked in a system that he's never played in before? He has been one of the best three-point shooters in the league since his arrival out of Oklahoma. Is it one of those? Is he the Sam Darnold of the NBA, where he just needed to be in the right system? And this is going to be a potential number two that's been sitting under, you know, the Warriors' nose all this time since he's been in the NBA? It's just a lot of this has to unfold. But I do think it's worth recognizing that in that game against the Boston Celtics, in a close, tight affair, that the Warriors playing all these guys and moving bodies in and out and being fresh were able to close that deal and look good in doing it. I get it. When you look at the landscape of the Western Conference right now, it's the Phoenix Suns, by the way, who have won 7 in a row. Despite all the conflict at the end of last season.
As Dan chokes some water.
Yeah, water break. Wow, I don't know where that came from. I think I had a pistachio this morning, and a pistachio nuts in the back of my throat.
Oh, yeah.
So, by the way, pistachio ice cream as well as pistachio chocolate, very, very underrated, as I digress. But when you think about 1 through 8 in the NBA, listen, the caller has a good point. The Phoenix Suns are all-star driven, right? I mean, it's Kevin Durant, it's Beal, and it's Devin Booker. And they're 8-1. Don't look now, but here they come. And same with the Thunder. And I would say the same with the T-Wolves. When you think about Ant-Man and their stars and going and getting Randall. And then here's this Warriors story right in the middle of all of this. And a lot of it, is it just because the fact that they played the Portlands and the Utahs and got fat on an easy schedule? But then how do you explain away Boston? How do you explain away not only beating Portland, but spanking these teams by 40 points? This is, I want to err, and I'm not the most optimistic guy when it comes to the Warriors, but I want to err on the side that something's different here. Something smells a little different here with the Warriors. That this is, something might be going on here, and we might be stumbling onto something very special.
Well, I think two things can be true, right? You can go into Boston and you can beat them 118 to 112, and you can play good defense, and you can shut down the offense outside of Jason Tatum with no Jaylen Brown, and you can play smothering defense when Stephen Curry scores 27 points, and Wiggins and Hield go for 16 points, and Kyle Anderson hits 3 three-pointers for you. You can win games like that. Undoubtedly, you can beat great teams with that. But the question is, when it comes to playoff time, is that sustainable? When it comes to 2 months down the road, when you're in February at the end of the year, are you going to sit there and say, wow, this is really working out for us? Or are you going to say, okay, look, you know, we finally hit the glass ceiling? And I think for the Golden State Warriors, you can try this. It's worth trying. It's working currently. You're 7-2. You can win tomorrow night and beat Oklahoma City for sure. It's up, you know, it's up in the air. It's a game that you probably are the worst team of the two, but if you play as good as you did against Boston and you get more from Hield, who had 3 points last night, that was his worst game of the year by far, and you can hopefully start off hotter than you did against the Cavaliers last night as well, you can win that game for sure. But I think that when you look at those two games back-to-back, it makes you go, okay, there is a cap as to how far this thing can go with the current construction. Now, I don't know what that means. That could be, again, getting Giannis or getting somebody else, Lauri Markkanen, whoever else. I know Dan Devon will veto via trade. Just want to get those guys. But I do think that, yes, through 9 games, fans have every right, and we have every right to be optimistic of, okay, this looks different. Meldon's missed some time. Pajemski's back. Those guys start playing better. I mean, Buddy Hield has been arguably one of the greatest signings of the offseason thus far. I want to put things in perspective in regards to Buddy Hield so far this year. Before last night against the Cavaliers, he was averaging 21 points, 4.5 rebounds, and roughly over two assists, shooting 50% from behind the arc on roughly 9.1 attempts per game, shooting over 51% from the field in 26 minutes a night. That is incredible. That's better, again, in perspective, than what Klay Thompson was doing in 2022 and 2023.
Klay who?
Exactly. When he was averaging 21 points a night and was shooting 41% from three, but taking over 10.5 three-pointers a game and shooting 43% from the field. All those being career highs in regards to attempts. He has so far been a more efficient version of arguably the highest scoring and best three-point shooter that Klay Thompson was with the Golden State Warriors. With Curry and Buddy Hield on the court together, their offensive rating is 143.3. Their defensive rating is 85.5. That is a plus 57.8 net rating. He's been incredible. He's been so efficient for this team. But I ask you, Dan, if you're going to play 12 to 13 guys a night and walk into a playoff series against, let's say it's the Nuggets or the Suns, do you really believe that 12 to 13 guys leaning on Buddy Hield to get you 20 or 17 a night and Wiggins do the same thing, that's sustainable? You're going back to that conversation of banking on Kuminga to be more than he's been. Moody to be more, for as good as he's been this year, to be better than he's been. I can't put myself in that boat just yet. I think you have to find the other star eventually this year if you want to make that massive run to another title.
I know a lot of people this morning are scratching their head and trying to get their arms around why the Warriors started GP2. It was an interesting lineup decision on the part of Steve Kerr. And the fact that what I've seen repeatedly on the text line is the Warriors, you know, with Steph Curry and a bunch of non-shooters. And then when you get behind 20-2, it gets accentuated, right? A lot of people are like, well, come on, what are you thinking here? But listen, sometimes you just have to defer to Steve Kerr. And Kerr did this earlier in the road trip against the Wizards, where he started GP2. It's obviously defensive minded here. He wanted GP2 right, purposely to lock up Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, who has been playing well in the early portion of the season, wanted to take away Jordan Poole, even though Jordan Poole had a decent game. So there was something defensively that he, again, Steve Kerr knows better than anybody that, yes, this doesn't make sense when you look at it from the offensive side of things. But Steve Kerr doesn't do that. He's setting the tempo. He's setting the stage offensively for you to create opportunities on the defensive end. So he saw something he could exploit with GP2 starting. And that's the reason why he wanted, again, he thinks about this from the, I think he goes defense first. And the offense will take care of itself. Because the offense isn't something that, he doesn't have any X's and O's. They sort of like have this innate ability to be connected and know where guys are. The movement isn't offense. Through. Yeah, it isn't something that you draw up on a chalkboard. It's just these guys have been together so long that it just takes care of itself. And so he's thinking defense, and that's the reason why GP2 got the start. It had, obviously, GP2 is not somebody that you're going to clear aside for, run an offense through, but he wanted to set the stage what he thought defensively could give him an advantage. Obviously, it didn't work. It blew up in his face. And the Warriors get spanked right from the outset, although made a game of it in the latter part of the contest. I think it's an interesting discussion going forward as to whether if the Warriors are a team that are competitive this year, and they do it with these 12 or 13 guys. With the NBA being as homogenous as it is, you can rest assured there's a lot of other teams that are going to say, wait a minute. Before I dole out these crazy numbers that I'm giving to Giannis, to Paul George, and basically, because when you bring in Giannis, the other thing you have to keep in mind, and the same holds true for Lauri Markkanen and Paul George, yeah, you get that number two or number one score, but you're now bound and tethered to these guys for the next 8 to 10 years financially. Okay, so while you moved all your young pieces, all those draft picks, you've got Giannis in the room for the foreseeable future, and I'm talking potentially the next decade, and you're also financially strapped because that money's going to that one guy. So you better be damn sure that he's the missing piece in terms of winning titles, which is, again, another reason why I'm making it centric on one player, because the assets and the capital and the cost is just too much. In the NBA, I would rather make a run at it in terms of what the Warriors are doing right now, and then maybe find somebody in the draft with the picks that you have and building the thing organically. That way you have players under team control, which makes sense financially. And also it's done through your system where guys learn to play basketball only one way, and there's that quote-unquote fit. All right, we're going to continue the conversation. The Warriors, I do want to get into OKC and preview that big matchup. Sterling Bennett, Cam Williams, Dan Devone, Warriors this week. We'll be back right after this.
Moody blasted right, puts on the brakes. Shoots over Wade, a little fadeaway, tough, turning right shoulder on the right baseline. Degree of difficulty very high.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors losers 136-117 yesterday to the Cleveland Cavaliers as they get blown out, although it made it somewhat respectable when you think about where that game was, say, midway in the second quarter. You know, they had Sterling 14 threes to the Cavaliers at halftime. They had over 80 points at the half. So to your point earlier, that 136-117 sounds pretty bad, but when you were to take a glimpse at this thing midway in the second quarter, it was a lot worse than that.
It was like 83 to, what was it, 83 to, I have it here in front of me, 83 to 42 at halftime.
Yeah, like, that's silly.
You look at how bad it was. It could have been a 40-point loss. That was where they were headed. And thankfully, Jonathan Kuminga, I thought, played great in that second half for them. Hit a couple threes. The stroke was working. And if you're looking for a player to step up in a big way, it's your boy JK. They need him if they want to make that transcendent or ascend to the next spot in the Western Conference. So it's a good showing, although a bad game overall for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, JK continues to be one of the X factors on this team. He gets off to the slow start. He still gets sped up a little bit. And you would think that in year four that would begin to slow down, but he still at times is a guy that is a little bit out of control. And I think that's just sort of who he is. He's 22 years of age. While that's still very young, we've been saying this since he was a teenager. So at some point, you got to say that this just might be sort of the earmarks of who he is going forward. Now, obviously, he's going to continue to improve. But when you think about, you know, that draft class with Cade Cunningham, with Evan Mobley was in that draft class. All these guys have refined their game to a point where they got paid, and nobody has any qualms about it because they deserve the bag. I mean, Jalen Green, who's averaging like 30 a game. There are a lot of guys that came out of that same draft class that got extensions, that got paid, because they are able to mature and get to a point where their game was no longer about conjecture and possibilities, but they had arrived. And we're still here 4 years later and still talking about Jonathan Kuminga and using the potential word, which it's a slight concern, but you still like the athleticism. He gives you 21 last night in 29 minutes. But at some point, he's got to eradicate some of these mistakes and traits of his game that we've been talking about now for going on 4 years and be this consistent plug and play, give you 15 to 20 a game and be a solid player. But he clearly has not arrived at that place. Yeah, I do want to finish up as I just to sort of end things about the conversation. I went to the break and I was talking about how I would not. If I'm running things, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, so to speak, and get all this right. money to one player and make it a player-centric and then handicap myself by mortgaging my future and not having draft picks or younger players. I'd rather go the route with which the Warriors have, what they've been doing up to this point this year and playing this many guys and then keeping your draft picks. Think about the Warriors this time a year ago, and I don't think it's by accident, Sterling, that we're seeing what it is that they're doing this year in this template of playing this many guys. This time a year ago, you had a disgruntled Klay Thompson, and you had a guy by the name of CP3. His name's Chris Paul, Sterling Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
Who's now in San Antonio. That was $70 million. $70 million that were dedicated to two guys. $70 million on the salary, 40 to Klay and the other 30 to Chris Paul. I think the Warriors recognize we don't want to do this anymore. And nobody has spent more money. Nobody has been more generous. And nobody's opened up the vault like that of Lakeham in terms of owners. And I think that he just as well, I think it was collective. They said, you know what? Let's try and win a title and get not only younger, but get cheaper.
Sure, but I also think it's not exactly how much money you spend, it's who you spend your money on, right? You can replace Chris Paul's production, and we're seeing it this year with Buddy Hield. You can replace, for as much as we love Klay Thompson coming back very soon to Chase Center for the first time, we're going to have our captain hats on for sure for that game at Chase Center, but you can replace Klay Thompson's production the last couple years with a player like Buddy Hield. If you're going to have starters that you're paying big money to, and for the most part have played well enough to deserve that money earlier in their career, you can find replacements for them for a quarter of the price and be okay. But when it comes to going back to that conversation of, strength in numbers and the 12 to 13 man rotations, yeah, don't invest in replacement level players or, fifth options offensively. Invest in stars that are in their prime, can still help you win championships, where I hate to say this, but Chris Paul and Klay Thompson are not going to help you win championships anymore. That's not who they are. The Mavericks need Klay to be that third guy for them. He was the number two here in Golden State. Or go back to Jordan Poole. When they paid Jordan Poole, and a lot of things transpired during his time after he got paid, and a lot of negative things that I think had led to the downfall of their partnership and their relationship, but they realized, hey, we don't want to be locked into a player like Jordan Poole any longer for a variety of reasons. But that's not exactly a knock on spending big money. It's we invested in the wrong players. That was the issue. So I get what you're saying. Shed some salary, go 12, 13 guys, build up through the draft, and build this strong core to help lead this unit. Then you have Steph and Draymond on top of it. But I do think that conversation also lends to they just spent kind of unwisely in a 2 to 3 year period, which led to a downward trajectory in their standings.
Let's talk about the return of one Klay Thompson coming back to the Bay Area. Boy, I don't think we would ever, in our wildest dreams, think that, first of all, Klay would be with another team, and that team being the Dallas Mavericks, and that he would actually be coming back to the Golden State Warriors in another uniform. But That's exactly what's going to take place coming up on Tuesday when the Mavericks are here. It's just really quick to get people caught up if you're wondering what it is that Klay Thompson is doing this year with the Cavs. As you mentioned, he is their third guy, and he is, he's playing nearly 30 minutes a game. He's averaging 14, just over 14 points a contest at 14.2, shooting it at 43% from the floor. He's at 36.8 from three-point territory, so not necessarily good numbers as far as shooting and his shooting percentage. The 14 points in 30 minutes, I mean, it's sort of what Klay was with the Golden State Warriors. And I think that, listen, Dallas got off to a good start and made a lot of sense. You talk about gravitational pull. Everybody's watching Luka, who might be pound for pound the best player in the NBA right now. And then, obviously, Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving. And then all Klay had to do was just hang out. When they reverse the ball, be on the other side of the court, set your feet. You're going to get more open looks than you've had in the last 5 years. That was sort of what happened early on. I think teams have glommed onto it a little bit, and they're Klay, for whatever reason, is not getting the same looks he had maybe, say, in the first week to 10 days. But here's the issue going forward, because now the Cavaliers are at 5-4 after their hot start and have been losing a rash of games. And I've maintained this, that this is what you got to think about when Klay Thompson, again, as much as we always want to focus on offense, I think Steve Kerr and company always think about defense. And Klay Thompson became a liability defensively. And that's wherein lies all of this in terms of the separation between the two. And I think he's going to be a liability with the Dallas Mavericks. And so when we think about the big three, that ain't a big three defensively. I don't know the last time Kyrie Irving was ever considered a DPOY candidate. And the same with Luka Doncic, two guys who couldn't be more disinterested in playing basketball on the defensive side of things. And then there's Klay Thompson. It's not a matter of Klay Thompson not giving effort. That's never been the case with this guy. And it's not a matter of being disinterested like that of a Jordan Poole. He just physically can't get to the spots anymore. He doesn't have the lateral mobility. Because of the injuries, he just cannot be that guy. And he gets taken off the bounce. Guys want to clear aside and just go after Klay Thompson. You never did that back in the day. And that's what I think is eventually going to be the Achilles heel of the Dallas Mavericks. Somehow, they were able to get to the finals and play good defense and really turned it on towards the latter part of the season with Luka and Kyrie Irving, specifically, who played well defensively. But now you throw Klay into that mix. And defense is one of those things that it's, to me, same holds true with football. It's got to be instinctive. You can't think about it. You can't remind yourself, I got to play defense. It's either in the DNA or it's not. And it's not for those three guys. And that's why I think that in the end, while they can score the basketball and they're exciting to watch with the addition of Klay Thompson, the fact that they're defensively always going to be deficient as long as those three guys are going to play as much and as often and as much as they're going to rely on them, it's going to be a defensive liability no matter how you slice it up in Big D.
Well, especially when you have, you know, two ISO ball handling players like Luka and Kyrie, you'd hope that would open up Klay offensively. Okay, if you're going to double down offensively and say, we're going to outscore you every single night, or at least most nights, okay, cool. That's also dependent on Klay Thompson hitting his shots, which I don't want to brag on Klay. We all love Klay Thompson here. When he comes back, he'll get a massive standing ovation. But he's taken 8.5 threes a game and only hitting 36%. Like, you look at the last couple games he's played, start the year was 10 threes, 12 threes, 11 threes, 7, 9, and it's gone down continually because he's not shooting well. You have a 143 percentage from him in his last game against Phoenix. This team with Klay, again, love him. It makes sense when you think about schematically what you want to do offensively, but with where Klay's at, it was surprising when the Warriors let him go. I figured there was going to be a lot more pushback by fans from the emotions and the ties to him and what he'd done with, you know, Steph Curry and Draymond and even Kevin Durant, what they'd built, and, you know, the stories of the injuries and coming back and winning again against Boston a couple years ago. But you look at where Klay was the last few years and what he had, or how he performed with the Golden State Warriors, honestly, and I hate saying this, know, it really has been an addition by subtraction of Klay Thompson, which I never thought I'd ever say with the Golden State Warriors. And in Dallas, you can argue that through, I don't know, 10-ish, 9 games so far, it's kind of been a subtraction by addition for them thus far this season with Klay Thompson in the offensive lineup.
What are you expecting? Just sort of a general overview. What do you think I know what the reaction is going to be like, but just what do you think what's going to go down on Tuesday when the game's over and we walk away? What is going to be the overall sentiment? What do you think is going to happen with Klay Thompson's return in a new uniform of the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday when he takes on his former team?
I think it'll be a lot of hugging after the game, a lot of emotions of, you know, good to see you and whatnot. But during the game, the one thing about Klay Thompson, and he's a really emotional person and a really emotional player, I would not be shocked and surprised if, one, he just takes 15 threes and is like, you know what, I'm shooting it up, I don't care, in front of my essential home crowd and whatnot, and, you know, they know what I'm like. And if Klay gets hot, he'll hit 10 of those threes, and we're like, oh, crap, you got 30 points or whatever. But I also wouldn't be shocked if Klay shoots the Mavericks out of that basketball game, because that's who Klay is at this point in his career. But either way, win or lose for Golden State or the Dallas Mavericks, you're going to expect a massive cheer and roaring, just, we love Klay Thompson chants. You're going to have free throws with the fans chanting, you know, Klay Thompson. So they love him so much in Golden State, and we love him so much here, but I just don't, like, Klay is kind of this two-faced player now, right? Where he'll get super hot and he'll get super cold, and you're like, yep, that's who he is. He's streaky at this point in his career, and it's like, you hope he plays well, but it's not against Golden State on Tuesday. Like, would you want Klay to shoot the lights out? Like, would you actually want that for Golden State? It's going to hurt you. But for Klay's sake, do you want that? That's kind of where my debate is. Of like, I want Klay to be happy and comfortable and get gratitude and get support, but also it's like, have a bad game for our sake, please.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. By the way, you just gave me a WWE flashback from WrestleMania, because I got a Dan Devone.
Nice.
When got introduced at MetLife in front of 90,000 for WWE and WrestleMania way back in the day. So
was that WrestleMania 28 or
yes,
29?
Yes. Well,
like the John Cena Rock once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime special?
Oh, my goodness. I want to say 2014 was...
That sounds about right, yep.
Yeah, you are on it, my man. Yeah, so anyways, you're going off on Klay Thompson. We all get ready in anticipation for the return of Klay Thompson, and all I could think about was me in WWE getting a Dan Devone. Yeah, so I think that you're right. The fans, look it, the fans are going to go nuts. There's going to be a ridiculous, ridiculous ovation. But I think the love fest is going to end there. I really do. And you were talking about hugs afterwards. I'm not necessarily sure that's going to be the case.
Wow.
With Klay
Bitterness.
Thompson. I don't know if it's bitter, but I do think it could get... I think he's going to chirp a little on the floor, and I don't think it's going to be friendly, sort of like, what's up, Dream? It's going to be like, bro, you ain't so bad sort of stuff. I think there... Maybe somebody gets a T in this thing. I see this a little bit differently. And here's the reason why. I think, to your point, Klay Thompson is as great as he is, just like any superstar. And I use the word judiciously great. I use it very judiciously. A lot of people just throw out that, oh, he's a great player. I hear announcers say, that was a great three-yard run. Really? A great three-yard run? There's few things that are great in this world. And Klay Thompson is a great shooter. But one of the reasons why he's a great shooter, just like why Tom Brady's a great quarterback, is that there's that crazy, crazy competitiveness that they have in their DNA. I think that there's only one reason, I said this last week, why he went to Dallas. And if you think about it, why didn't he go to L.A.? He has family in L.A. His old man works for the Lakers. The Lakers had more money to offer him. He's got the ocean. It makes sense. His brother Trace is hanging out down there. And he goes to Dallas, and you scratch your head, and you're like, well, why? Why are you going to Dallas of all places? One reason. This is about retribution. This is about payback. This is about going to the team and hitching my wagon to the team that's going to go the furthest in the postseason. And why? Well, yeah, I want to get back to the playoffs and I want to win a title, but I also want the Golden State Warriors to look and see where it is that I am. I want to be able to look over my shoulder in the rearview mirror and say, this is what you missed out on. You don't think I have anything left in the tank? Screw you. He wants to be with the winner, obviously, because he wants to get back to making a deep run to the playoffs. But a lot of that decision to me was predicated in the way he feels as though he was treating his final year, year plus here with the Warriors. A lot of it has to do with payback. And I think that's going to carry over into this game. That, yes, there's going to be a lot of pomp and there's going to be a lot of circumstance and he's going to take his bows. But once they tip that ball up, yes, you're right. He's going to look to score and he's going to look to win. And I don't think it's going to be as friendly as a lot of people anticipate. In fact, I anticipate Klay Thompson and Draymond Green to get into something. What that is, I have no idea when it comes to Draymond Green, right? I don't think he's going to. I don't think he'll go, speaking of WWE, and go Rudy Gobert on Klay Thompson to get him in a chokehold, but I do see some friction.
Well, you know what's going to happen is that Klay's going to flash the "I have 4 championship rings," and Draymond's like, "Yeah, so do I." Like, that isn't weighing on me anymore. I'm sorry, man. But when the video package plays and the emotions kick in, I do think that Klay may come in with this mentality of, I want to win this trade. I want to win, you know, leaving Golden State behind. I want to be the victor of this breakup, right? That's what it is. You've broken up, right? It's a couple that was together for 10 plus years. You had a great run, so many great memories, but this kind of got towards the end. Things fizzled out. You weren't the same people. You wanted to go in different directions. And Klay is like, I want to make sure I prove to that person I've won the breakup. And for Klay, that can kind of be the Achilles heel, but I'm hoping that once the video package plays, the emotions kick in, he realizes, okay, they still appreciate and they love me and they care about me here. It's not bitter. It's not this, you know, like, let's be honest here, Dan. Klay's motivation is very one-sided. The Warriors don't feel that way. The Warriors are not reciprocating in that with Klay. They wish him well, good luck. We wish well on your future endeavors, WWE style, when they fire their superstars, right? That's the same thing with the Golden State Warriors. good luck in Dallas. We hope you do great. It's not against us, right? And for Klay, like you said, maybe it is this, you know, I want to prove it to you. I want to stick it to you out there in the Bay Area that you shouldn't let me go.
I'm not saying that Draymond Green doesn't like Klay Thompson. There's any bad blood. Right. Those guys are boys for life. They'll be connected, and I really do think that they genuinely, and the reason why it worked with the Warriors and why they had all those titles, they had the dynastic run, is because they genuinely respected and liked one another. Maybe they didn't hang out, and I think, you know, Klay is sort of a lone agent. He sort of does his thing. It's not like they had dinner and went on vacations together. But I do think that there is a serious bond between the three. So I don't think that there's any friction in that regard. But I think that when it comes to the competitiveness that we're talking about that fills up not only Klay Thompson, but certainly Draymond Green, that I think it's gonna boil over. And while afterwards, I can almost envision Draymond's going to get on his podcast. He's going to have a lot to say. Like, he's my boy. I love him. They'll dap it up maybe when no one's looking. But I do think at some point during the game, it's going to go beyond sort of the friendly little nudge, that there could be some chirping when someone's at a free throw line where Klay Thompson's like, you ain't so bad. And, you know, I didn't really like it when I was here playing with you at times. And I've got to deal with you anymore. And then Draymond's will go right back at him. And it's going to be his. I do think that there's going to be a level of seriousness where everybody's going to be like, oh, whoa, didn't see that coming. That's what I'm predicting. And maybe I am, you know, it wouldn't be the first time I've had it. I'm someone saying a wild take. Because I do think it's going to get to a competitiveness between the two where it might border or be on the precipice of, you know, this getting, you know, out of hand. And I just think that that's sort of the nature of the two players, and I think that's sort of the mindset of Klay Thompson going into this contest, is that he's not happy the way he was treated. He has a lot of pride, and I think the last thing he wants to see, although he'll never admit this, is the last thing he wants to see is the Warriors doing well without him, all right? That's just part of being a competitor. And also, just take it a step further, last thing he wants to see is a guy like Buddy Hield. Not only are you doing well without me, but you're doing it with a guy who is shooting threes at a clip like that of Buddy Hield. I don't like the smell of any of this. So something could go off that I don't think any of us are sort of anticipating or expecting coming up on Tuesday. But It'll be a lot of fun. I mean, with Clay coming back, I do think that there is going to be some, not between Steph, but think about this. Sterling, Dante DiVincenzo, former Golden State Warrior, really made a name for himself when he went to the New York Knicks. He gets traded to Minnesota. Now, he's playing, you talk about with his boys. You're talking about, the Villanova Five, right? You're talking about his guys, Jalen Brunson and Josh Harden, all these guys that played in Villanova. They're friends going back to Villanova. He goes back to the Garden after getting traded from Minnesota, which he clearly was upset with. He goes back to the Garden in a preseason game, and he's with Minnesota. He's at the free throw line, and he's going after Brunson, his former boy. And he's like, "You happy now?" Something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. And Brunson's like, "Man, come on. Are you serious?" And he got into it. He had to be separated after the game from an assistant coach of that of the New York Knicks. They were going to throw blows. And that's right. Dante DiVincenzo as a competitor. So I'm just saying, and Dante and afterwards, he and Brunson and Josh Hart, they're still good together. But when there's that feeling of disrespect and you're talking about professional players and professional players with pride, things go off. And again, I refer to Dante DiVincenzo on a much, much smaller level in a preseason game, pointing fingers at Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, and then after the game having to be separated where players got in between him and New York Knicks assistant coaches who were saying, "Man, stop talking and get the hell out of here." I think that maybe there has been a stage set potentially of what it is that we can see with Klay Thompson, and things may be going off the rails on Tuesday.
Well, so let's take that, right? Let's take the Dante DiVincenzo example and apply it to Klay Thompson for a second, and let's get specific, right? He apparently directed his comments towards Tom Thibodeau, like, "You traded me away, really?" If that's the case, and you go to the Golden State Warriors, well, those comments will be directed towards Mike Dunleavy. Klay knows he was never going to get traded or moved or released or cut if Bob Myers was here. He knew that was never going to happen. You put Dunleavy in there, and in 2 years, he's gone. That, I think, is where the comments could get directed towards, and then you have players, you know, like Draymond or Curry or company that are defending their GM. I think that's where friction might come into play. But, you know, I would not be shocked if Klay hits a three next to the Golden State Warriors bench and turns around and makes a few comments like, "Yeah, you wish you had this still." And they're like, "No, we have Buddy Hield on the other side wide open because you're not playing defense." He's going to hit his three as well. So should be a fun matchup on Tuesday for the Golden State Warriors. And I'll tell you what, I know I'll be 400 miles away, but I'll have the game on here being like, "Let's see what Klay can do with the Mavericks."
Do you get Warrior games out there? Do you get NBA out there? I mean, you're on the moon out there, so I'm a little concerned.
Sometimes it's a little spotty. All the NFL games are being illegally streamed, but so we're going to do the same thing with the NBA.
And 510, I love you, baby. Somebody went after me and dropped an F-bomb. They didn't like my take on Klay Thompson, but it happens. Nah, hey, listen, I understand, and I hope I'm wrong, but you never know. It's just when people are this competitive, things go off. It should be a love fest. We all hope that it's like Klay. Listen, all the fans love Klay. There's no doubt about that. I'm just saying that he's somebody that's so competitive that just, you know, sometimes expect the unexpected, but you never know. We'll find out on Tuesday. All right, we'll come back for the final hour. It is my man Sterling Bennett. It's Cam Williams and Danavon. Warriors This Week is back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.